The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us put on the armor of light. No one who waits for the Lord shall be put to shame. Our pre-Advent preparation is officially over. We talked about that last Sunday. This Sunday is the beginning of the Catholic liturgical year. You can notice the Missal is at the very beginning of the book. It's the very, very beginning. And this year, it's an interesting year because we only have, as of today, 22 days until Christmas. It's a short Advent season. There's 4 weeks. We know that's like the four candles on the Advent wreath, 4 weeks. But Christmas happens to fall on a Monday, so there's only 22 days. So basically, like we talked about last Sunday, that big theme, overall theme, is we don't have any time to waste. So in the Gospel for today, just like last Sunday, we are given the end of the world to think about again. We're presented with this again. I'm not going to go into that again. We dwelled on that enough. We established that. We're going to just use it briefly. So last Sunday it was St. Matthew's Gospel, this Sunday it's St. Luke. But the general theme is the same, the end of the world. The Advent season is a fresh start, a fresh preparation for the coming of our Lord on Christmas. The end of the world, a preparation for the moment when we die. All these things, they're combined, they're connected. And just one thought on when we die, just one thought on that. One statistic, I'm not one for statistics, but just a secular statistic, it's pretty general and quite obvious, but we're more likely to die in the winter than any other time in the year. So we can see there's a connection here. Obviously, here in the Midwest, it's mostly the weather, but also attached to that is just the anxieties that surround this time of year, that anxieties or worries or whatever, that plays a big role on our health, a big effect on our health. So just that secular statistic alone, it shows that there's a connection between the liturgical cycle and the order of nature. Obviously, God's the creator of both, so they're connected. We know that our Lord, he rose again at Easter. That's the time of year when the plants, they spring up from the ground, from their everything has died back. Now it's getting warmer, everything's springing up. And that shows us rising from death to life. And into the fall, throughout the summer, and then we get into fall, everything dies back, the leaves fall. The church invites the faithful to think about death. That's why that month of November is such a pivotal turning point in liturgical years. We're thinking on death, and it fits so well with what's going on outside, and it's all these sense-oriented things working together. And that is like the marvelous close of the liturgical year. Now we're already 3 days into December, and the cold, that reminds us about the human heart, which is cold because of sin. And our Lord coming on Christmas, he's that light. He's the light of the world. He's that source of heat and strength that dispels that cold in our soul. We talked about the fact that our Lord is the light of the world. That was our theme last Sunday. And we saw that parallel between the book of Genesis and the Apocalypse. Also, the parallel between creation and destruction or purification. We also saw the parallel between the first coming of Christ, the beginning of the world, and also Christmas, and then the second coming of Christ at the end of the world. So now this Sunday, since we've established that already, we already have that in our mind, we can better appreciate St. Paul's words in the epistle for today. It's very very obvious how these things are connected. St. Paul says, "For it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And right there we're left wondering, what's this armor of light? Well, St. Paul gives us the answer right at the end of the epistle. He says, "Put on the armor of light." And then at the very end of the epistle he says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." He's saying the armor of light, going back to our light thoughts and analogies and parallels, that is Christ. We're putting that him, we're putting him on, we're imitating him. Because when we put on our Lord, when we put on the armor of light, that enables us to face both inner and outer darkness. It allows us, alone we can't do it, but with Christ we can, most definitely. And we face a lot of darkness this time of year. Of course, the days are shorter, and that's also another thing that's very striking in the liturgical cycle and the order of nature. But also the darkness that we see in the world, the darkness of sin, these things are connected. We know that this time of year, there's so much hustle and bustle going around. The world is, you know, their main focus is trying to just basically obtain as much junk from China they possibly can, starting from Thanksgiving till Christmas. And it's completely bypassing the whole meaning of Christmas. It's forgetting about it. It's putting it off to the side, not preparing. And then the day after Christmas, everything's over. The party's over until New Year's. But for us, it's our preparation. It's our time to face the darkness. It's our time to put on the armor of light, to put that stuff aside, because we're going to get that time to celebrate Christmas. After Christmas, we have a very long period to celebrate as Catholics the Christmas season. And it's so much more beautiful when we put things in their proper order and we prepare well, then there's so much more meaning on Christmas. So thinking about this, obviously all of us at this time of year, we are incredibly busy, sadly, but that's part of our lot in life. You think of working fathers, you're probably the most busy with work around this time of year, this Christmas season. Many times that's the case. Mothers, you're preparing for Christmas, all the things attached to that. Kids are still in school, wishing they weren't in school, maybe hoping for a little bit of snow, all of those things. And there's, we're busy. The priests are busy, the sisters are busy. So I want to provide you with something that when we get busy, because it's going to happen, we can reflect back on this one point. We can draw ourselves back into the spirit of Advent and refocus our minds very quickly, very simply, by just thinking and drawing upon this one simple point. So this one point, I talked about it at the confraternity meeting yesterday, but I think it is applicable to all of us, and it's very important. And it is about silence. Now you're probably thinking, what's this silence he's talking about? Is he saying, go sit in a corner and go be silent? No, there's a bigger, deeper meaning to this, and it's like a little meditation that we can refocus our mind on. And it places ourselves right there, the imagery is right there, the moment before Christmas. That is our imagery in our mind that we can reflect on. The whole point of Advent is leading up to that moment of the birth of Christ. So this little meditation helps us to get in that frame of mind. And it involves Our Lady. Especially thinking of Our Lady this time. The beginning of Advent is very much about Our Lady. Two great feasts, Immaculate Conception, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we think of Our Lady here. So this is the little meditation. So Our Lady, in that cave in Bethlehem, we draw ourselves into this imagery. So that night that Christ came into the world, Mary and Joseph, we know they're tired. They've been traveling. They're probably hungry. They're exposed to the elements. There's no room in the inn. St. Joseph, he's beside himself. He is suffering, trying to provide for Our Lady and our Lord who's going to be born. So he's suffering. Our Lady, she's suffering, watching St. Joseph suffer. That causes her a lot of grief, sadness. Of course it would. So she feels his pain. Also, Our Lady, she knows the mission of her son. She knows the meaning behind everything that's happening. She gets it. She recognizes that his purpose is one of sacrifice. She knows that he's going to be persecuted. She knows all these things. She knows that, well, she doesn't know quite, we don't know if she, whether she knew, but we know that shortly after, that persecution would start very quickly. Herod would come to try to find the Christ child to destroy him. So that persecution, the danger is imminent. All these things that are connected with that, you could say, anxieties or things that you would think would be distractions, things that she'd be worried about. But is Our Lady worried? Absolutely not. We find her in this state of silence. We find her in this state of peace. We have to dismiss that idea from our mind that Our Lady is somehow not, she's either oblivious or protected from those things outside. That is not the correct understanding. No, she obviously sees that, but it takes absolutely nothing away from her because she is so united to our Lord, to Christ in her womb. She's so united to him that none of that matters. So she is there in peace and silence, pure silence, awaiting the coming of her son. And we think of that moment of silence, which is the moment leading up right before Christmas Eve, right into Christmas, that moment, that meditation, that point right there, that silence continues to this day. What do I mean by that? Well, that silence continues in a different manner. It's the same silence, but it continues in a different manner until the end of time. Our Lord is before us in the tabernacle in silence. And we have to remember that. It's the same thing, just a different manner. So when we get distracted from that, our initial good resolutions at the start of this Advent season, whatever that is personally for us, when we get distracted from that, we should stop and enter into that little meditation of Mary, there in silence, perfectly at peace, for at least a minute. Allow yourself one single minute. Once you get distracted, you can even make that a daily practice. 1 minute, I'm going to think about this. 1 minute, I'm going to practice the silence. I'm going to prepare myself for Christmas with Our Lady. You can make it a daily practice. You can easily, husbands, you can fit it in on the drive home from work in the car. You can easily find a minute there. Mothers, when the kids go to bed, right there, you have a minute. The kids, right, you say your night prayers, there's a minute right there. And any other time you can find a single minute, obviously more if you like, inspired to, whatever, but at least a minute to refocus. If you do that 22 times, remember we only have 22 days, a lot can happen in 22 days with God's grace if we allow it to work. But remember, the word of God can't be heard amongst the noise and bustle of the world. Because the word of God is the only word that can be heard in absolute silence. He's the only one that can speak to us purely through silence. So to fight off these distractions, let us allow Our Lady to help us to do it. You know, she wants to help us. For the Tarsician group meeting for the kids, Tarsicians of the Sacred Heart, we talked about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and we talked about how on that tilma that Juan Diego had with the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, when you zoom in the eyes with a microscope, in the eyes, on a tiny couple fibers of cactus fiber, you zoom in on that, and you can see people in the eyes of Our Lady on the tilma. And we were discussing this at the meeting with the kids. And the overall meaning here is that Our Lady's trying to tell us that she sees us. She's watching over, she's guiding us with her loving care. So let us use this point, this meditation, to grow and to allow ourselves to allow Our Lady to help us to prepare well this Advent season for the coming of our Lord. We're going to see this thought on December 8th, the Immaculate Conception. We're going to see this again, this theme. So we're getting a taste of it now. And as a final thought for this first Sunday of Advent, let us start Advent with patience. That's another thing we can imitate of our Lady. We all want to make spiritual progress this Advent. We want a fresh start. We want to make progress. At least we should. And we also want Christmas to come. We're impatient people. We want things now. We want that joy. We want everything that is involved with Christmas. All that joy and happiness. All the things there. We want that. But 22 days of patience. We really get impatient with just about everything. Those around us, things that pop up and are ready that we have to do. We get impatient with ourselves. We get impatient even to the point of getting impatient with God. And that's one thing that we should strive to battle against that, especially in our prayers. When we're praying for something and it doesn't happen right away, we get impatient. Likewise, we're going to probably get impatient this Advent season. But we shouldn't let this impatience disturb us. We shouldn't let these things disturb us. Because our life here on this earth as Catholics is obviously to fulfill our duties, to do everything that we have to do according to our state. But then after that, what's our job? Our job is literally to wait. That is literally what we're called to do. We're called to wait in silence for the coming of our Lord. Because the reward is not here. It arrives when Christ arrives. The gradual today is taken from the Psalms. And it says this, "No one who waits for the Lord shall be put to shame." So I encourage all of you to unite yourself with Our Lady in silence in that cave in Bethlehem this Advent. 1 minute, 22 days. That's only 22 minutes. That sounds pathetic, but you can do more if you so choose. But that should be our focal point, our regroup point. Unite yourself with Our Lady. The night is far advanced. The day is at hand. Let us put on the armor of light. No one who waits for the Lord shall be put to shame. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.